Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity of being here today and participating in your meeting. It's hard to say no to my long-time, not old, but long-time law partner, HB. I want to start with a couple of thank yous because last year about this time, the Rotary Club and Scott Sutherland in particular, but the club gave me a Paul Harris Fellowship Award, and that was by surprise and much appreciated. And I've actually got, I'm not sure what you call the award itself, but it's a glass, almost an obelisk, except it's more like a teardrop. But anyway, I've got it in plain view in our living room, so I appreciate that. I was a Rotarian for about 30 years before I became judge, and as I look around the room, fortunately, there are a lot of new Rotarians, but I see a lot of people who were Rotarians when I left here about 16 years ago. But as I look over here, I only see one that I know was a Rotarian before I was a Rotarian. I joined in 76. Chapel, I think you've probably been here since, what, 68 or so as a Rotarian?
Yeah, 68.
And And I'm sure that the group will recognize you for that periodically. But as I was going through stuff, and I've been going through stuff from four offices and 35-ish years of law practice, and from Rotary active days, we used to have what's called an honorary order, Little River Admirals. And it was just a nice token that Chapel spearheaded to give speakers and honored guests. And Chapel, even though I have no standing at all, Alana and Ashley agreed to sign off on this and give you this honorary membership as a Little River Admiral. And Chapel did this. It says, "Be it hereby known that Chapel R. Wilson is entitled to command all sailors in the Navy of Tree County, to respect of all citizens, and to all other rights, honors, and privileges pertaining thereto." It was Tim McGinnis isn't here today, but I had the opportunity to work with several of our school superintendents over the years, and Tim, what I'm going to talk to you about today is what I learned in 15 years of being a circuit judge, and I will get there, and I will stop by 5 till 1, and if I haven't, I expect the room to empty out, so I really hadn't learned that much. I went in dumb, and I came out dumb. But Tim McGinnis said that he complimented me on my retirement not long ago and said, whether you were good or bad, it took two people to replace you. And that's true. It may be just as John Goodwin had said after I was elected the first time, unopposed. He said, "Did you ever think that maybe everybody knew it wasn't a job worth having?" And there's something to be said for both of those. So, but my whole life experience and law practice did lay the foundation for me to be a circuit judge. Back at the very beginning, my five brothers and sisters and I were blessed to have two good parents who loved us, taught us right from wrong, had good work ethic, taught us that faith, it didn't move mountains in our household, but it was an important part of our household. And I still firmly believe that the power of prayer is what gets us all through not only tough times, but the good times as well. I had a longtime law partner and friend, as HB has mentioned, whose strengths in and out of the law practice, in and out of the courtroom, were filling in a lot of blanks that I had myself. Our general practice was helpful in all areas, civil, criminal, defense, and prosecution. I had worked as an assistant commonwealth attorney with Bill Cunningham for about 13 years. And again, going back to olden days, when I first moved here in 1976, there wasn't a statewide public defender program, and so as Chapel will remember, we had to put together a local public defender program and did that for a couple of years on a next to gratis basis. But so that experience helped lay the groundwork for me as well. The last 20 years of my law practice, HB bore with me and allowed me to do some mediation as well, trying to help lawyers and their clients get their cases settled before they got full-blown litigation into the courtroom. But, you know, all those things were good, but in thinking back, I'm not sure that being a parent to three children and two stepchildren wasn't as good a training as most anything anybody could have. Yeah, you need to know a little bit of law, but when it comes down to the tough decisions that you have to make, all those kids were better than I ever was as a child, but they still crossed the line every now and then, and I think they will tell you that I was a strict disciplinarian, but I hope that they'll tell you that I was fair. And, of course, disciplining your child to establish boundaries and teaching them that there are consequences to their actions, both good and bad, is a good lesson, of course, for all of us in life, but it was particularly good for what a circuit judge does. So that's what prepared me to be circuit judge. Well, my next topic is that nothing in my life prepared me to be circuit judge. I love the job, and I appreciated being your circuit judge for 15 years. I served 15 years of my 16-year term, and Judge Redd was good enough to give me an early out and come in, and fortunately, he did get help from the legislature to have a second circuit judge. Over the course of that 15 years, our circuit became the busiest circuit on a per-judge basis of all the circuits in the state, and there are 57, maybe 58 circuits now. And so we did need help, there's no question about it, both to allow people access to justice and allow judges to live a more normal life than perhaps I was willing to do. We don't live in the murder capital of Western Kentucky by any stretch, but in most small counties, we have more than our share of the serious murder cases that come up. In my first 4 years, we had five murder cases on the docket moving toward trial, and three of those were death penalty cases. And you just, in the interest of justice, you have to spend time on those things. And they take time. Of course, the most serious was here in Trigg County with the Roaring Spring murders. And just a word on that, just on going from the ridiculous to the awful, I had finished up a divorce hearing in Livingston County, and the main issue with these two people who represented themselves was who had custody of the family cat. And I kid you not, that was what we spent a couple of hours talking about. So I made a decision on the cat. I got home, and sometime after supper, Meg called wondering if I'd heard about the people getting killed down at Roaring Spring. And I had been involved as a judge in a custody case that involved one of the children. And no, I hadn't. And that's about as tragic as it gets, but that case worked its way through, was tried in Livingston County. Then, of course, similar situation a couple of years later. Teresa and I were coming back from a pleasant weekend at Keeneland in October, and we hear on the news that the Champion family had been murdered except for the son. And that was another awful situation. We still have the unsolved and cold case of the brutal murder of Chantel Humphreys. There's just no clear-cut answer to who was the perpetrator of that crime. although we did spend a lot of courtroom time working on that and trying to get to there. And in Caldwell County, in the first 9 years, we had 10 murder cases just in Caldwell County. And I stopped counting after that, so I'm not sure how many there were in the last 4 or 5 years. But and that's, they're not a big part of the docket number-wise, but they are time-wise, they are. Now, there is nothing humorous about a murder case, but for sanity's sake, I think we would all agree you have to maintain a sense of humor about what's going on. And we had a murder case in Lyon where a fellow was charged with murdering his sister, and he took off to Tennessee and was later arrested in Tennessee. And really, it would read like a good Elmore Leonard novel, with the way it played out. He makes his first appearance in court. He objects to having a lawyer. First appearance, most of you know, is nothing. It's just to be sure that people know what they're charged with and that they do have a lawyer and that that's who they are. And most of the time that's just done routinely. Lawyer says we waive formal arraignment and we get the next court date. Well, this just man yelled, "Judge, you can't make me give you your name, my name. It's against the Constitution." So one of the things I learned, and Teresa and HB will tell you it's not a natural talent, I learned to act patiently. I'm not a patient person. But I did learn that one of the worst things you could do is yell back at somebody in the courtroom. So although not being perfect, I can think of a time or two that I used my outside voice when I had to. But anyway, Commonwealth attorney came to the rescue, and she said, "Judge, the arresting officer is here, and he can identify Mr. Long." And so I asked the Kentucky detective to raise his right hand and tell the truth, and, "Is this so-and-so Long?" "Yes, it is." Well, I happened to notice when I'd calmed down a little bit that he also had a jail ID on. So I called the jailer to the witness stand. I said, "Mr. Jailer, is this ID issued by the Christian County Jail?" "Yes, it is. And would you tell me what it says?" "It says blank Long." So anyway, that set the tenor of the whole case. He was not a dumb fella, and he was interesting all the way through. And another thing that reminds me of Elmore Leonard characters is that the Tennessee State Patrolman that arrested him was Trooper Looper. I mean, you can't make this up. And the detective was Detective Human. So I've got these witnesses before the jury here in the trial. And the jury did end up convicting him, but it's one of those things that gentleman wanted to represent himself, but he didn't want to represent himself. He contradicted his lawyer throughout the whole trial, and unfortunately, I even had to have him removed from the courtroom a couple of times, which was embarrassing for him, for me, and for the jury, but sometimes that's just got to happen. And the verdict was upheld on appeal, I'm happy to say, so it's not on either Judge White or Judge Red's plate. Another area that took time that I probably didn't know anything about was, while I knew that we, of course, had two penitentiaries in Lyon County that house about 1,500 people at any one time, I didn't realize the amount of litigation that came from those inmates. Civil litigation. The circuit court is an appellate court for disciplinary hearings. If somebody has broken a rule at the penitentiary and they are penalized within the institution, either with segregation or loss of good time credit or several other things, they can appeal to circuit court. Most of them are fairly routine. But it's not something that a judge can ignore. You have to look at each one of them to be sure they did have due process. The judge does not substitute his or her judgment on what should have happened. It's just a review to see if due process of law was followed in rendering a guilty verdict. And that's another interesting area that I didn't know anything about. Circuit court is also where inmates file interesting litigation of different types. And just one particular area that opened a whole new world to me on knowledge of religious beliefs is I had a suit where a fellow who identified himself as a Cathar by religion filed suit to have it established that he could sign with just making an X instead of writing his name because it violated his religious views to actually sign a name. Only the name of his Lord, whoever that may be, could be written down. We had a Rastafarian gentleman, which I had kind of heard of, semi-sort of heard of, but it's a Jamaican religion where one of their religious tenets is they do let their hair grow, and it does end up in dreadlocks more often than not. And this one inmate was moved from one institution to another. One institution, probably I think it was Green River, allowed him to keep his dreadlocks. He comes down to Kentucky State Penitentiary. He's transferred there because he was a disciplinary problem. And they cut off his dreadlocks. And so we had some litigation over whether that violated his constitutional rights. And the inmates, to their credit, I mean, they study. They're not all fools down there. They're just people that got caught. They're not all bad people either. There's good people that did some just rotten things. So I've learned Cathar. I've learned Rastafarian. We had a Jewish man who filed suit to recover his prayer oils and spices, which had been confiscated, and because that robbed him of the opportunity of holding a proper prayer service. And you may not know, some of you do, but the chaplain, at least at Kentucky State Penitentiary, is an all-purpose chaplain. He or she represents all these people and all their religions, so it's an interesting spot for a person who is labeled as chaplain to have to figure out all these things. And my decision was in that there wasn't anything that prevented him from having these specific oils. The Department of Corrections, among many other manuals, has a manual that's about this thick, which has to do with just religious rights and litigation. There's, as you might imagine, there's quite a bit of litigation, both in federal and state court. Fortunately, a lot of them gave up on me and went to federal court, so that's okay. We had a Native American who had sued because his two-piece ceremonial pipe was confiscated. The regulation allowed a one-piece pipe, one-piece pipe, and he had one that was two. And a lot of these sound kind of foolish, but contraband within a penal institution is such an issue that the institutions themselves really have to be careful about what comes in and where it comes in. If any of you have ever had a chance to take a tour or talk to some of the wardens and things, it's amazing the creativity that goes into sneaking in drugs or tobacco, even since it's a smoke-free facility. And speaking of tobacco, another Native American had sued because he said that his religious rights were violated because he couldn't bring in his kinnikinick. Now, anybody here know what kinnikinick is? Raise your hand. All right, well, good. I sure didn't. But it's a tobacco substitute that some Native Americans and others use, made of generally dried leaves, sometimes bark, sometimes a little bit of tobacco. So to say that I was prepared for any of that would be a lie. None of that was on my radar, but it was educational. And that was one of the really good things about being circuit judge, is that it was educational every day. About the time I thought I had seen everything, or that I thought I knew everything, it was a quick come down and turnaround that I did not. Again, looking at some of the humorous things, in custody cases, a judge has a right to talk to the child or children of the parties, and I usually was reluctant to do that because the kids are under enough pressure in a divorce and a custody case. But I did on a case-by-case basis, usually 12 or 13 years old. And in Caldwell County, had talked to a young lady who was 13. And usually, and it's kind of routine stuff. I don't put them on the spot to say, you know, what, who's better parent or this or that, but I just try to explore what this child thinks and what he or she might want. And when I get through asking open-ended questions, I usually say something like, well, I've asked you a lot of questions. Do you have any questions for me? And oftentimes the child will say, well, you know, how long are you going to take to make a decision or something like that. And there's nobody else in the courtroom. I kick the parents out and the lawyers out, generally speaking. And so she says, well, I do. Has anybody ever told you that you look like Yoda? You all have to be the judge of that. We have the same hairline. I'm hoping that my ears are not quite as pointed. But at least he's a wise person. And I said, no, that's a first. Let's see. To get you all out on time, adoptions are about the one pleasant thing that a judge gets to do from the bench. Good-hearted people adopt children regularly. There are those in the room, including HB, that were willing to share their home with other children, non-biological children, and it's heartwarming and often emotional for all. But that's the one kind of feel-good thing. There are a lot of other things, obviously, that circuit judging involves, but let me just wrap up by reiterating that I did enjoy my years as circuit judge. I would have kept doing it. I just got tired of being tired all the time. I am enjoying retirement. I don't have a plan for what's next. I don't plan to plan for that. We'll see. Being a public servant is just a logical extension of being a lawyer. A lawyer is lawyering is a service profession, and despite the lawyer jokes that you hear, our lawyers in the 56 are excellent lawyers. They are good examples for people within our profession, and so I was happy to have the opportunity to finish my legal career as a judge. And speaking of judging, I got to say one more serious thing. All of you here know that what has been the cornerstone of our democracy for our 200-plus years is the rule of law. It's the glue that's held our country together through thick and thin, including times like our own, where there's substantial polarization. But our founders chose democracy. They didn't choose aristocracy. They didn't choose autocracy. They didn't choose anarchy. They chose democracy. And that's what we all need to be aware of, that the rule of law is necessary. Going back to what John Adams said, we are a government of laws, not of men. And so the rule of law is another reason why I'm proud to have been a lawyer all this time for nearly 50 years. And despite the importance of the rule of law, if all of us as citizens, as civil citizens, and I'd say it, all of us in this room are this way, but if we kept in mind how we treated people, if we remembered the Rotary four-way test, which is really just a nice restatement of the golden rule. The golden rule isn't just a Christian or just a religious saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's been part of the moral code and ethical code of civilizations since way before Christianity. But if we could keep that in mind, in our own minds, my belief is that that would help all of us maintain civility in our civil society and also help us to maintain our democracy. So thank you all very much for listening to me today. I appreciate it.